This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello and good morning. It's now 9:37. You're listening to Ringgit and Cents, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Melissa Idris and I've got Julian Ng here with me. It's of course the new year and what else? It's time for resolutions and financial resolutions, that is. Here to help us do that is Iris Lee from iMoney.my, which is a financial comparison website. Welcome, Iris, to Ringgit and Cents.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so I understand that iMoney recently published an article about how to be financially fit for 2017. Now, I'm going to tweet the link to that article, but I guess first and foremost, we probably should know, why is it so important to be to make financial resolutions at the start of the year?
It's common for people to make resolutions in the new year because we have time to reflect on on our finances in the previous year, what we've done right, what we've done wrong, so we can make changes for the new year. And also, of course, new year, we feel more motivated to make changes and all that, not just financially, but we can, like going to the gym and all that.
Yeah.
So yeah, we should take this opportunity and also that motivation to make that change.
Never mind the fact that most people don't fulfill the resolutions made, right?
Yeah.
Hey, so bad. Did you make a resolution this year?
No, because I won't be able to fulfill them.
Okay,
so
I'm going to share my financial resolution right at the start of the show, okay? In 2017, I resolved to eat out less because I, as a single person, eat out so much. Every day I spend a lot of money on takeout and eating out. So hopefully this year I'm looking to cut back.
That's very good. That's very good.
Yeah?
Not only will you save money, but you might become healthier as well.
Fingers crossed. Okay, so let's talk about how we can be financially fit in 2017. Do you have any tips for us?
Actually, to be financially fit this year, we need to focus on three things. First, of course, is the rising cost of living, which everybody is talking about. And then because of that, we have to be very careful in managing our debts. If not, we will spiral out of control and that will be really, really bad in long term. And then also to avoid more debts. So all these three things are connected. So to do that, we must manage the first one, which is rising cost of
living. It sounds so simple, Iris, but it's really hard to do. Okay, so coping with the rising cost of living. That's the first thing that we should be, we're all struggling with, but how do you do that?
We just heard news today that the ringgit hit 450 yesterday. And I suppose, I believe that's going to add to our cost of living.
Definitely. Especially if you like to buy imported goods, that will actually affect you. And if you like to do online shopping, especially from overseas, that will also affect you.
Guilty.
So, yeah.
And so also for other people, children's education.
Yes,
and not only
children,
that,
yes. People who send their children overseas, definitely that will be the most affected.
Yeah, a lot of food has import components as well.
Yes.
Even when you buy into basic foods like chicken and eggs, the animal feed is actually imported.
Yes. For example, agriculture, fertilizer may be imported from somewhere else. So that will add on to the cost of your food, which you think is, grown locally.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So the first things first, the way to manage with the fact that everything's getting more expensive is, of course, you have to cut back on spending on certain things, right?
That's right. I think I've said it like million times and I'm going to say it again. Budgeting is the key to, cutting your spending. Because if you don't budget, you don't know where to cut, what to cut, how much to cut. So if you have a proper budget, you will know exactly where you are overspending and how you can cut back on these areas. So of course it's not easy, and budgeting, you always have to tweak your budget maybe every month, every quarterly, because your lifestyle changes a little bit throughout the year.
So Iris, based on your experience, right, where do you think are the areas that most people tend to overspend? So when they do a budget, they realise, well, I've spent quite a fair bit in this particular area and I can cut back. So what do you reckon is...
Like you mentioned earlier, eating out is one of it. Yes,
okay.
Eating out.
It's a common problem.
Yes, we don't really realise how much we spend on dining out. But if you really sit down and list down every time you go out and eat, it's actually quite a lot. Even for simple lunch, at the office nearby.
Also, I think it's so easy to just go out there and buy stuff, right?
Yes.
We are a very materialistic society and we are caught in this consumption cycle. It's just so easy to spend 10 bucks here, 30 bucks there, just buying stuff. And at the end of the day, our house or our home is filled with stuff that we rarely use.
Yes. For example, you buy a bottle of condiment and you only use it one time. And it's not... So that's why a lot of things, if you want to buy, consider what you are going to use it for and how many usage can you get out of it before you purchase it.
Now, you suggested something that is quite interesting and intriguing, in my opinion, on your website, which is to establish a no-spend weekend once a month. First of all, what is this? And second of all, it sounds impossible. How do you have a no-spend day, let alone a no-spend weekend?
It's actually quite easy. Technically, it's not really completely no-spend because a lot of things we have already bought like on subscription basis.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like considered. So for example, you can just stay at home. But of course, you need necessities like food and all that. So you cook at home. You watch your maybe Netflix or iFlix subscription at home. And all these, you're already paying for it.
Right.
But you don't go out for a movie. You don't go out to the mall. Because every time you step into the mall, you say, I'm just going to window shop. But you're actually paying petrol, paying parking, paying toll. And, you're bound to buy something.
Yeah, even if it's a drink.
Yes.
You spend a couple hours
in
the mall, you're bound to spend something.
So make a weekend like a hibernation weekend. Stay at home. And it's also good for your, for people around you, for your family to spend some time outside where there's so much noise.
A no-spend weekend.
Is there a more zen aspect to this? Because what do you do when you stay at home? Do you find that you're in a position to replace the kind of very short-lived kick that you get from going to the malls?
Actually, for me, it's sort of like a financial detoxing. So I get away from all these temptations and I just focus on the very basic needs of a human being. Food, minimal entertainment.
Minimal entertainment,
yes,
really?
For example, watch some TV or just surf the net or,
read a book.
Yes, read a book. Something very simple and very basic. So I don't have to go out and constantly have to entertain myself with something.
And did you find that the savings were substantial when you did that?
It is sort of not really enough if you just do like one weekend a month. It's not really.
So what, one weekend a month?
It's not really. It's sort of getting, it's more a habit thing. If you get into the habit and then over the longer term, you will know when not to spend, what not to spend. And it's possible not to do that.
Right.
So it's sort of the mindset.
Okay, that's interesting. I might try that.
Financial detoxing on a
no-spend weekend. I don't know if I can take it longer than a weekend.
The next tip I was going to give is start with one weekend and maybe, prolong. Prolong it.
Maybe a no-spend week.
Yes.
The entire week.
That's why I start with a weekend.
But that one is dangerous because then I can come to work and say, Jules, buy me lunch.
Well, that's one way to do it. Then I'll reply, I'm on a no-spend week too.
maybe you should take turn no-spend week for one person and the next week.
Okay, so let's talk about some other ways to cope with the rising cost of living. If there's only so much that budgeting and cutting spending can do because, there are necessities we need. How else can we cope with the rising cost of living?
The other one is earn more money, of course. So other than, getting a raise, it may not seem possible for some. So the other idea is to get a part-time job. Get a part-time job. We have talked about this before, like ride-sharing and all that. Ride-sharing, you can actually earn about $2,000 a month by driving just 4 hours a day from Monday to Friday. So that is actually a very good way for you to earn extra cash. But if you don't want to drive around or you don't have a car, you can always consider freelancing. So look at the skills that you have and consider what kind of services you can provide to other people. There are many websites now that offer a platform for you to, offer your services to everyone around the world. So this will actually be good for the current situation where the ringgit is very weak, because some of these platforms lets you earn in USD.
Oh, yeah, so nice.
That will actually help you. For example, if you want to offer writing services, translating services, so you can consider these US websites where they let you earn in USD. Of course, they also charge a commission.
Could you give us a ballpark as to how much people can earn from freelancing from these foreign websites?
It depends on how your experience, because the rates follow your experience, and also how many jobs you take up in a month. But roughly, they charge about 50 cents per word.
Oh, wow.
Per 50 US cents.
Yes. So 50, yes, for those 50 US
cents.
It's not bad.
It's not bad at all.
So 10 words would be 5.
Yes, but this is a professional writer who has years of experience.
Right.
So if you are just starting out, or, you know, some college students want to earn some extra cash, they can offer translating and all that, but they will offer in a way lower rates. And also, the way these platforms work is, the better your reviews get, your clients give you a review, the more you can earn.
I see. So like a Yelp rating. Okay, it's now 9:47 and we'll be back with more tips on how to be financially fit for 2017. Stay tuned to Ringgit & Sense right here on BFM. Good morning, it's now 9:48. You're listening to Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Melissa Idris with Julian Ng, and Iris Lee is in the studio with us. She's the editor of iMoney.my, a financial comparison website. And we're talking about financial resolutions and how to be financially fit this year. So we just spoke about coping with the rising cost of living, Iris. But
yes.
You also mentioned at the start of the show that another essential part of being financially fit is to manage our debts.
Yes, that's right. Do you know that 68% of Malaysians have debts?
68%?
Yes, we are the most indebted in Asia. Okay, so this makes rising cost of living a lot harder to cope, and it's extremely easy to miss some payments sometimes because we just can't manage with our daily expenses.
Right.
So higher when we miss our payments, it means higher cost of loan.
Okay, so make sure we don't miss any payments, because there could be, you know, roll-on effects to that.
I guess this takes us back to your suggestion that perhaps maybe a part-time job may be a good option, because as the economy becomes more challenging, it becomes more challenging for us to service this debt, sometimes, like, for example, housing loans, which are fixed payments, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to pay that regardless of what your incomes are.
Yes,
and therefore, a part-time job may be a good option.
That's true. And missing a payment is really not just the cost. It affects you in the long term, because it affects your credit ratings, and it makes you, which affect your ability to secure a loan or credit card in the future.
In the future, I see. Okay, all right. So that's a really good tip. Don't miss your payments, even though, you know, times are tough. That's supposed to be a priority in your financial commitments. What else can we do to manage our debts?
Credit card. Some people think that, you know, just paying minimum payment on a credit card is good enough,
right?
Because you won't get into trouble. You are still servicing your credit card. You are doing well. But the truth is, you are actually spending a lot more. You are paying a lot more to the bank because you are just paying minimum payment. Let me give you an example. If you have a 10,000 credit card balance and you are just paying the minimum payment, it will take you close to seven years to pay off that 10,000. If you're assuming that you're not spending any more on that credit card, so it's just that 10,000. So it will take you 7 years and you will incur 3,000 plus on interest.
Oh my.
Yes, so if you just pay 500, you fix it 500 every month, you pay it diligently, you don't spend on that credit card, it will only take you 2 years to clear off.
Should we make use of certain credit card benefits, like zero installment plans for credit card and balance transfers? Should we take advantage of some of these stuff?
Yes, definitely. If you are, that will help you with your cash flow. If you're buying something like a big ticket purchase and you don't want to park all your money in that purchase, you can use zero installment payment plan, but you have to pay diligently. If not, you will incur interest. So it will sort of be pointless for you to
use. So the conditions are you have to make sure that you pay on time. Okay, so credit card debt is not the only debt that most Malaysians have. I think some Malaysians have student loans to deal with, PTPT and loans as well, and that's something that will be a burden, especially if you're dealing with the rising cost of living.
It's true, yes. And good news for PTPTN borrowers, this year they can actually make use of the discount that was announced in budget. So for those, of course, you think that I don't have that much money to pay off all my PTPTN loan to get the 15% discount. So one way to do that is to use that 0% installment plan. They allow you to use your credit card. And then once you have paid off with your credit card, you can call your bank and tell them to turn it into a 0% installment plan. So you can technically enjoy the 15% discount and still pay monthly. But of course, you have to make sure that you have the enough credit limit to pay off.
That's true.
Yeah, just very quickly before we close off, when I look at the article on your website, you have the first point saying resolve to learn something new. What is behind this tip for 2017?
Of course, it's something new related to finance. Because we have said it a few times that saving alone won't make you rich. So you can save 500 ringgit every month into your bank account. It won't make you rich because inflation will slowly erode your savings. So in order for you to reach your financial goals, so let's say you want to save up to 100,000 but in 3 years' time. So you should consider things like investing your savings. So that will actually help you protect your savings from inflation and also earn more at the end of it. So how do you do that? So a lot of people say they don't know how to, you know, invest in stocks, invest in ETF and all that. So make it a point this year to learn something new. Read about it. Ask people. There are a lot of financial advisors, of course, qualified financial advisors. Yeah. So talk to them, ask their opinion, and learn how to, you know, invest in something like ETF to make your money work harder for you.
I like it that you mentioned the word ETF twice.
I can't help
but notice that you also have a link to another article of yours about what an ETF is all about.
Yes. Jules, do you think it's hard for people, say someone who doesn't know anything about ETFs, to do the research and learn about investing in this asset?
Yeah, it's very interesting because a few days ago when I grilled ManagePay, and I asked them about how difficult it is to learn about P2P payment, right? And the answer was that it's no different from people learning about stocks. I mean, today they already know how to invest in stocks. They know about dividends. It's just another step to take to learn about, for example, what is a bond instrument, what is an ETF, right? I don't think it's difficult at all. And very simply, I mean, just to answer your question directly, an ETF is just like a unit trust, but very much cheaper as a platform to invest into.
Okay. All right. Iris, just as we wrap up the show, so we've got a couple of tips here to be more financially fit in 2017. Tips on how to cope with the rising cost of living by cutting spending and maybe doing a no-spend weekend. Mm-hmm. I've got a tweet here from Rizal Dahalan who said, no-spend weekends are easy for him when he's broke. So he sometimes extends it to the whole week. And we also have the second part of your the show. We talked about managing our debts. And the last one will also be avoiding more debts, right,
yes,
Iris?
Yes, avoiding more debts is also something that we should, even when the economy is good, when your finances is good, you should always keep this in mind. Because do you know that people are actually 14.55% of our EPF members have actually withdrawn from their EPF for health purposes. So health is a very important aspects, and a lot of people don't plan for it because you can't predict when you're going to fall sick and all that. So that's why insurance is very important. So if you don't have adequate insurance, you can easily go into debt if you are, you know, if you get sick and all that. A simple procedure costs you like at least 10,000 in a private hospital nowadays. So if you are earning the rule of thumb for medical insurance premium is not actually that high. So it's actually the maximum is 1.5% of your annual income. So if you're earning 5,000 a month, you should be paying 900, not more than 900 a year in premium. So consider getting yourself adequate medical insurance, because with medical inflation going up every year, it is important to have that backup.
With all the online models and fintech and insurance tech coming about, the premiums are getting cheaper and cheaper. I think the market is in the process of being disrupted.
Yes, but consumers should also be aware that they need to do a lot more research before they purchase online, because they don't have that one-on-one person to explain to them what is the policy about. So it's easier for them to compare, but they need to do their due diligence before deciding on one medical insurance.
Okay, so it's coming up to the 10 o'clock news bulletin, and we want to say a big thank you to our Ringgit and Cents guest today, Iris Lee, editor of iMoney.my. Iris, thanks for sharing your financial resolution tips with us today.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
I'm Melissa Idris with Julian Ng for Ringgit and Cents, only on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.